The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, notice what God has to say. The Lord has made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Anyone that makes and passes laws contrary to God's word and his spiritual laws will be held accountable. God says our leaders cause us to err, cause his people to err, and God doesn't take that lightly. The wicked will be judged and rewarded according to their works. God is fair. He made that law of reaping what we sow. God has the power to bless, and he has the power to curse. He can curse with bad weather or bless with good weather. He can also curse your enemies or bless them. He can make you the head or he can make you the tail. And God said that he would do that to Israel, that he would make us the tail if we didn't obey him. In Proverbs 16, verse 5, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. God says no matter what you do to evade that law, it won't work. It will happen. You will be rewarded according to your works. He says you reap what you sow. God tells us the proud and the haughty looks of man will come down. And it surely makes those who pass laws contrary to God's law feel proud and important when they defy God and trample on truth, God's word. God also says we aren't ashamed of our many sins. We have come to the point that we as a nation just openly display our sins. We aren't ashamed as a nation, and it doesn't seem that we are ashamed anymore as an individual, no matter what we do, how bad it is. God has a message for the leaders of Israel, and that would include the United States and the British people. Notice what he has to say to our leaders in Isaiah chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. Isaiah 3, verse 8. God is speaking to the whole nation of Israel here. He's speaking to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was the throne of the king of Israel. For Jerusalem stumbled, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of his glory. You think we might be doing that today, my friends, provoking the eyes of the glory of God? The looks on their countenance witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, they weren't ashamed of their sins. They didn't try to hide their iniquity. Do we, my friends? They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. Verse 10, say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. Yes, God says, we reap what we sow. And verse 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. Listen to that, my friends, and we need to think about that. Our leaders need to think about this. O my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. Would that include our spiritual leaders as well as our secular leaders? Yes, my friends, it would. In Micah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, notice what God has to say. And I said, hear now, O heads of Jacob, and you rulers of the house of Israel. It's not just speaking of Judah, it's speaking of the whole house of Israel, all 12 tribes as it used to be. Is it not for you to know justice? God is asking us, our nation, and the entirety of Israel, and which certainly include the United States and the British people, says, is it not for you to know justice? Have I hid justice from you? Says, is it not for you to know justice or divine law, God's word? No, God is letting us know. It is for us, and we've had the opportunity, and we used to know this much more than we do now. You who hate good and love evil, who strip the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones. Yes, you who hate good and love evil. Does that sound familiar, my friend? Does that sound like the world that we're living in? Does that sound like the nation that we're living in? Who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skin from them, break their bones and chop them in pieces like the meat for the pot, like flesh for the cauldron. Then they will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear them. He will even hide his face from them at that time, because they have been evil in their deeds. Yes, my friends, there is coming a time when you will cry out, and no doubt when our leaders will cry out to God, and God will not hear. We may be in that time right now. Is America being blessed? You can answer that for yourself. In Micah 3, beginning in verse 9, God even gets more specific about what's going on in our nation and in the nations of Israel. Micah 3, verse 9, he says, "Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert equity, who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity." You know, my friends, we wonder why all these evils are happening to us, why we have so many killings anymore, why terror is so great. And we can't figure that out. We scratch our head, we try to find a motive, and we dig and we search and we dig and we search in every way except God's way. And God's word tells us why these things are happening to us. But we are too stubborn and too rebellious, too far off from God, too far out from God to listen to God at all. Verse 11, "Her head judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophet divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? No harm can come upon us." God says it all goes back to the dollar. Does that sound familiar? Think about that, my friend. Does that sound familiar? In the book of Amos, God gets even more specific about what our nation is doing. He pinpointed this prophecy to the tribe of Joseph, which became and are the United States and the British people. Notice what God had to say in Amos chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. "Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, in the house of Joseph, the United States and the British people, and devour it with no one to quench it in Bethel." Yes, indeed, my friend, nothing that we can do about it. When God's anger gets stirred up at us enough, he's going to break out and we are going to pay. God is going to pass judgment on America and on the British people. He already is, but they will get more severe. It says, "You who turn justice to wormwood and lay righteousness to rest in the earth." Does that sound like some of the laws that we are passing? Is it a righteous act or law to ignore the marital law that God made and make our own law of legalizing same-sex marriage for the whole nation? Yes, putting bitter for sweet, turning what's just and right into evil? That will have a terrible kickback. Just like all of our iniquities, it always has a terrible kickback, and this will have a big, terrible kickback. You can take that statement to the bank. Maybe some of our leaders doesn't understand one of the main reasons that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. We seem to think that we can do the same thing and get away with it. Well, the law of reaping what you sow is applied to everyone, to every individual and nation. No one can evade that law. It is one of God's laws, and God's laws work every time. God's laws work every time. They never fail, my friend. Now, if God had created a man for Adam to marry and told them to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, Adam would have scratched his head and said to the other man, "Well, now, how are we going to do that?" He would certainly have had a problem on his hand. How far from our Creator can we be? When will this world begin enforcing their twisted and perverted laws and rules on mankind? It will happen. Notice what your Bible says about that. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel tells us of a dream he had, or the vision that he had. Then he asked to know the meaning of his dream of those four beasts that he saw coming up out of the sea. In Daniel 7, beginning in verse 16, it says this, "I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. those great beasts which are four, or four kings, or four kingdoms, world-ruling empires it would be, which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. If you want to know how things are going to wind up, my friend, it isn't the kingdoms or the powers of mankind that's going to take God's kingdom. It's the saints of the Most High that's going to be there ruling, reigning, training, healing, and teaching with and under Jesus Christ God's way of life. Once Christ returns and establishes the throne of God on this earth, and he is going to do that, and it can't be far off now. We have just about reached the end of our rope as a world. Verse 19, then I wish to know the truth about the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its nails of bronze, which devoured broken pieces and trampled the residue with its feet, and about the 10 horns that were on its head, and about the other horn which came up, before which 3 fell, namely, that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. This is speaking of a time of persecution of the saints, which happened big time and will happen again. It's speaking of a time, the time of the end, which we are living in now. He says they were prevailing against the saints until the Ancient of Days came and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. That's the way it's going to turn out. The saints will possess this earth. The meek shall inherit the earth. The saints will be rulers of the earth under Jesus Christ for a whole 1,000 years, and we will be there to help Christ straighten out the mess and restore all things as he says he's going to do. Verse 22, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. And my friends, we're just waiting now for the seventh resurrection of this fourth beast to arise, and it is in process now, and it is near for it to raise its ugly head. The 10 horns, or 10 kings, who shall arise from the kingdom, they will be with this fourth beast, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and shall subdue 3 kings, speaking of the false prophet that is to come on the scene. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, and times and a half a time. Yes, persecution is coming on the few that found the narrow path that we've been talking about in this series of programs at the end of this age. Yes, there will only be a few that will be walking in that narrow path at the end of this age. As a matter of fact, there are only a few now that's doing that. And there has only been a few from Abel right down to this day that have walked in that narrow path and stayed with it until they came to their end. My time is up. We'll pick this up in our next broadcast. In the meantime, we have a couple of booklets that you should request. What does God say about same-sex unions? Maybe you would like to know, my friends, and this booklet will give you much more detail than I'm having time to give you now on this program, and why Christ must return. So call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com, or order online www.thewayitoughtobe.org. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill. Meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughtobe.org, or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughtobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615.